Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to welcome you in the next panel today, where we'll be reflecting on the key trends that have shaped the global landscape in 2024, but also looking forward to 2025. So this year has been marked by significant shifts, some anticipated and others evolving in unexpected ways. So we've witnessed the recalibration of the monetary policies and capital flows, with interest rates and inflationary pressures reshaping investment strategies. The maritime sector, of course, continues to navigate the challenge of decarbonization and geopolitical disruptions from the evolving regulatory landscape of FuelEU and EU ETS to the ongoing impact of the supply chain reconfigurations. Meanwhile, of course, technological innovation, including digitalization, but also AI-driven efficiency, for which we have heard some in previous panels, but we are going to hear more today, has been a driving force across many industries. Against this backdrop, and as we'll hear today, capital allocation decisions have become a lot more nuanced, requiring agility and foresight, and the intersection of sustainability and profitability remains a key focal point. So our esteemed panel today brings, of course, together industry experts who will provide the insights into these critical developments, examining the risks, opportunities, and strategies for the road ahead. So with that, let's begin. If I can introduce our distinguished panelists. To my left, Nicolas Pavlidis, Head of Shipping for Bank of Cyprus. Uge Kalme, if I'm pronouncing that properly, the Senior Vice President and Head of DNB Athens Representative Office. Aris Patunas, Head of Shipping for Hellenic Bank, and finally, Ronis Kiberesis, Head of Accounting and Finance for Pelagic Partners, and also CFO for Harbin Holdings. Welcome. So if we can start, as usual, with the banking and funds panel, which is to look with at an overview from each of the panelists and their perspective for the shipping market. So how did each of the panelists view 2024? And what are the expectations for the shipping portfolios in 2025? So am I instructing you for that?
Yes. Thank you. And many thanks to Nicholas Bornozis and the Capitalink team for continuing to support the organization of this conference here in Cyprus, which is really important. Thank you. At Bank of Cyprus, we continue to show our commitment to the shipping sector. We started our shipping center 8 years ago. We developed a selective portfolio. 2024 was a little bit turbulent year in terms of the markets, but we met our targets in terms of revenues, new business, income, and of course deposits, because many of our clients had extra liquidity from the past 3 years, and that put them in a nice position to have stronger balance sheets and look the future with more confidence. So this is the way we're going to continue next year. We want to continue and expand further selectively, and a lot of issues have been discussed about so many topics, that politics, geopolitics, tariffs, new technological challenges. In my 30 more and more years in shipping finance, one thing I've learned and I admire in shipping is that it's very adaptable. So I'm very hopeful that shipping will continue to thrive in volatile conditions going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Eddie. We can pass on to Uge.
Thank you, Esther. And thank you for having me. Hello. Thank you, Nicholas. If I look back over the past 12 years, we've certainly experienced a very strong shipping market across the asset class, which against our clients resulted in balance sheets getting stronger, you know, leverage had come down, equity has gone up, which, you know, as a big level to the industry, something we like to see. The high interest rate environment, we feel, has in a way, and very for you investors, and I think the preference, at least the cost to portray, has been for repaying debt in advance. And I think as a result of that, we have seen an imbalance of supply of capital compared to demand for loans, and as a result, spreads have come down. So it's been definitely a borrower's market, which we expect to continue to see next year. For ourselves, we've been reacting, despite the competition last year. We have lent around $4 billion across our portfolio. For global portfolio, around 6.5. So it's, it's a lot of new money deployed in 1 year, but believe it or not, that was just enough to sort of keep the portfolio stable. So I think the velocity of capital has accelerated, and I think I want to talk on behalf of the real families, but certainly to grow also your disenvironment, it's difficult. Now, looking ahead, compliance regulation will continue to be, one of the main focus of the bank. To that, you have Basel IV, which, for European banks is, can have a significant impact on capital availability and pricing. I think most banks are still trying to navigate the regulation to see how that would impact their activities, but certainly, if anything, pricing should come up. And I would add a final point. I think that, for banks, when you evaluate a new project, I think that the challenge right now is the discrepancy between asset values and freight rates. Banks commit for 5, 6, 7 years, and the big challenge at the moment is to get comfortable with the principal risk of a number of these loans in the market where we see values continuously remaining high, but freight rates in certain markets being already low or expected to contract severely after the quotation. So that, I think, that's something that will keep us focused on the next 12 months.
Thank you very much, and then we'll pass on to Aris.
Thank you, Esther. Good morning to everybody. Indeed, during the last 2 years, none of the shipping finance market has experienced a shift, mainly which is due to the gathering of regulatory effects and also market dynamics. Beginning of 2024, we see our clients have excess liquidity, so this created a lot of uncertainty in our job. However, this came out a bit between for us because most of them have the leverage. So this increased the risk profile of them, and I was underwriting force to them, and which are up to fail substantially going to floor. And the main thing here is that with this market, the capital structure remains robust. So it's very important under these circumstances here, the credit, let's say, structure of the facilities. For the time being. Now, we could see also that due to vertical effects, a lot of uncertainty happened in 2024. This is still a great thing that this is still here in 2025. And also the increased regulation in the environment and this emotion, the emission that's supposed to be restricted, we create extra stress for the ship waves. However, we are close to them and we are here to last with them and be able to work instruments. We also face some issues from non-bank institutions, mainly from Asia. However, in general, we believe that banking finance has been increased in 2024, and we think that claims to have been still on the same levels. Now, for the outlook, uncertainty is there, so as shipping needs to adapt, and banks have to adapt to the times and be close to them, so together we have the ability and the willingness
and for the future. Thank you very much, Arjun. Of course, you're only wearing quite a few hats, so it'll be interesting to see your view from obviously the other perspective and the fan perspective for 2024 and 2025.
Thanks, Arjun. And good morning to everyone. Hello. Just to say a few words, we're sitting here together with the other lenders. Coming, the out of Elogic Partners. Elogic Partners was established in 2020 by two founders, Dr. Lee Sutton and Adolf Apmeri, who are second generation ship owners, so they bring with them knowledge of the shipping industry. They've decided back then to establish a regulated investment fund, which is governed by the ISAIC in Cyprus, and currently we're managing a portfolio of assets under management of about $500 million. Initially, we started with a fund which was, this strategy was mainly acquiring vessels from bulk carriers, tankers, gas carriers, car carriers, so a diversified portfolio. With the success of the first two partners, we launched the second one, which was more targeted on yield than fixed returns. We've then proceeded with the establishment of a wind fund, where we adopted two CSOVs and vessels in Kochi, India, which are green themselves in the sense that they are biofuel and methanol, fuel LNG, but also their purpose is to serve the green industry, the wind farms, work once they're being completed. Late last year, we've decided to launch a credit fund. So that's where we come the leasing aspect now, where we're trying to give solutions where the traditional lenders cannot, and basically when we're coming in hand with them, because with most of the projects we get popular leverage to be able to get cheap owners or cheap settlement assets.
Thank you very much, Ronnie. And quite a few trends coming from the main issues that the banks and obviously funds are facing in 2024, expected in 2025. One of the main ones, of course, being the geopolitical context that we are now seeing, with more than 70 national elections last year, and of course the American election there. It's interesting to get your views maybe on how the current affairs are affecting the shipping portfolios or affecting the lending for 2025, and especially maybe how you see Mr. Trump's policies coming into play. So maybe if I can start with you, Ari.
Take this step. All these geopolitical factors definitely influence the trade. Yeah. We have trade disruptions. So trade routes change. Also, the market routes change. So as a lender, we see that there is the disruption also change for our asking for our bills. So we have to focus on population risk, some due diligence risk, and also compliance risk. All these, we are using, let's say, the external providers that will help us to overcome with this, but be close to the past of SIB and that. Let's see, there's the main issue here. Because we have to understand what are the trades, what they're going to do, and be able to stay with them and observe the kind of solution to pursue further. It's good to have, to know that trading patterns. So in order to have clear from before, I get that to easier, I quickly.
Thank you, Ari. And Uge, maybe I can shift to you. Do you think that in light of the various changes in the world affairs and the policies coming up with Mr. Trump, is that going to be affecting any of the traditional ship financing models? Are those still viable, or do we think that we can foresee any structural shift coming up in 2025 or in after that?
I don't expect really the structures of the currency to be different. I don't really see how, beyond the usual, you know, social language which we have in our agreement of permanent solar to address potential changes in, you know, trade patterns, stars, all of that. But I think it comes down to, as Harry said, you know, the clients monitor relationships with the charters, you know, with the yards, the ship management companies to be able to navigate through these changes. And I think, you know, we've been in the industry, since ships were open by sales. So we have seen all the changes, you know, in terms of environmental changes, geopolitical changes, and what has brought stability to our portfolio is reliance on this, trials that have been through a lot of different cycles and changes. In the bank, you know, we credit risk is not the only risk within assessing and advancing bullying, environmental risk, compliance risk, regulatory risk. They all form part of our assessment, and that's been the case now for several years. So I don't really expect a big shift, you know, in 2025. Certainly, there will be certain sectors impacted by terrorists. You know, we're fairly active in the counter-terrorist effort. We'll be concerned about the combination of the oil and the tariffs on Chinese EVs. They have been brought to us, but to Europe, that could have an impact. But, you know, generally speaking, in the other segments, I think, you know, nearshoring may not be necessarily a bad thing for the trend. I'm sure we'll be monitoring that really closely. But I don't expect the financing structures to materially change to address that.
Yeah, of course.
Just to add a little bit to what my colleagues have said, I think tariffs and a potential dichotomy of the world as the worst case scenario has been offered in the current situation. That is the ultimately not good for shipping and maybe containers and car carriers will immediately suffer, and others will be less affected than the long-term shipping, which has been the means of globalization, will cannot benefit ultimately in the long run. So that I personally see this as not a good development for shipping, even though, as I said earlier, I think shipping adapts and it's finds its way very quickly and terribly.
Thank you. Well, then I think that is a useful shift into decarbonization, of course. And one of the hottest topics of Capital Link in Athens a couple of weeks ago. So how do you think that shipping is going to face the new challenges with decarbonization and modernization? And we've heard the panelists mention they want to be close to their customers, and shift accordingly. So how are the banks being close to the customers? How are they facilitating the owners to comply with all these regulations coming up with decarbonization? I'd like to start with you, Luan.
Thank you. It's exactly as you said, Esther. You need to stay close to your clients and understand the strategy and the long-term way they see this development. In the period that I've been here, and for Cyprus, I've seen that one can easily see our books and the emissions of the ships that we finance have improved significantly, and naturally, with the average age being about 10 years, you know, with the electronic engines and the new ships and the finance, the number of the new buildings, and the lower emissions. So all these come naturally, and it's important to speak to your clients and select your clients carefully. Some things which I'd like to, some thoughts that I'd like to offer, also following the previous panel. I will agree that other regulation and unilateral regulation hurts regional shipping, and particularly Europe. I think there is a trend for shipping going east, and that might accelerate that if Europe sticks to unilateral regulation. There's also I think we all observed a more measured approach in the last year with more emphasis on retrofitting. And we heard in the previous panels, the retrofitting of existing ships with efficiency improved by 25% in reduction of emissions. Also, the new ships that come in the water significantly and amazingly lower emitting assets. Lastly, this is, as it's been said many times, this is a cost that needs to be shared. And it's the owners, the charterers, the local governments, and of course, the banks will support the transition and will be there when it comes to supporting the new technology.
Thank you, Nicola. And if we can shift to Ronnie's, I know, Ronnie, you mentioned previously about some of the green moves that Latp has taken in 2024. So maybe if you can give us your perspective as how you are dealing with the challenges with modernization and decarbonization.
Yep. Just Clato and Nicolas has mentioned, there is a gap that we need to bridge between regulators, compliance, and commercial viability, because sustainability is also part of that. What we bring to the table with the alternative financing is that because of the flexibility that we are able to reduce the upfront burden that owners have in order for this adoption to be phased out in terms of costs and being able to implement this transition and these green technologies going forward in an easier way. In general, requires collaboration by all stakeholders. I agree with Nicolas, public sector as well as private sector, bringing into the table the equity market as well as the capital markets, and everyone having a joint effort towards to create services.
Thank you, Ronnie. And we'll get back and move over to you. How are the banks adapting the lending strategies? I know DNB has made some efforts to link some of their products to sustainability and decarbonization. Maybe you can explain what is in process and whether there's been an uptake with this product.
Yeah, it was, we've been very active for the past 5 years in several initiatives across the ship finance world and the shipping community to develop certain products that would, I wouldn't say incentivize, as I don't think a few basis points of reduction in margin would incentivize really trying to make such large investments. But I would say, to differentiate between clients investing in greener technology, greener fuels, and those just continuing on using fossil fuel. And by the way, we don't mind financing clients that continue to use fossil fuel as well as they invest in equipment that can reduce their emissions. So we're pretty practical with how we could decarbonize. There's many ways to get there. But so over the past 2 years, together with Octia, we have developed a new framework, which is called the Transition Way, which, you know, is not a product that existed before. So, you know, it took 2 years really to come up with a framework that would be sort of legally in place and then be concluded that we end of last year. And essentially, what it does is that it gives pricing advantage to companies allocating capex to energy saving devices to any equipment that would increase the mileage of a ship or the investment in new buildings using dual fuel. So it's a crossway between the sustainability loans, which we have seen becoming a bit less fashionable lately, and the green loans. And we hope that this product will help those clients keen to accelerate the transition to represent to their shareholders, whether the public or private, that you know that they're doing the right thing when it comes to reducing emissions. So we developed that product together with Neptune as an example.
Great, thank you. And as we heard Ronnie mention, obviously there needs to be a gap between regulation and commercial viability, something that everyone is considering how to bridge. And obviously, what is the role of the banks in doing that? If Aris can offer some comments as to what financial solutions are banks developing, or should the banks be looking to assist owners to bridge the gap between regulation and commercial viability, as mentioned by Rodis.
Is that, yeah. Okay. So when we do the credit analysis, what will we, as we insert that with our borrowers, all this coming an equation that with takes into consideration what you have done, how efficient are the vessels moving to other vessels. So, but that to help, and we don't have special products for this improvement, it's it. But we discuss with them, and we can facilitate them either through the existing facilities or some checkups in some of the existing laws. Of course, when we do the credit analysis, pricing and everything is taken into consideration or the environmental aspects of the vessel. And definitely, the credit rating takes into consideration their ability and the visions that they to build.
Thank you, Aris. And just before we move to the next topic, just checking whether anyone else wants to make any other comments about bridging this gap that everyone's talking about between regulation and commercial viability. Is there any more comments before?
No. Maybe I can just add that you'll be very active on the energy space as a bank, as well as the ports and infrastructure landscape. And, you know, we don't really see at the moment the port infrastructure necessarily upgrading to allow for green fuels to be available. If you're in transshipping, you need that. I don't know, there's 50 plus ports in the world to have the ammonia available. We don't really see that happening in the short term, and if you look at the capex of the majors, you know, Shell came out, PP came out recently, so you know, we would go cut our investments in green energy. If anything, the medium term horizon in how investments will be made to accelerate the availability of green fuels, this is not really showing if we're sorry that there will be green fuel available within 2030 and beyond at a reasonable price. If anything, it looks like this time scale is shifting a bit further away from our fallout.
Thank you very much. And as we heard in previous panels, another topic that has been very hot now is, of course, the role of technology and financial innovation. And we've heard a bit about it in the previous panel, but it will follow, of course, today in a few of the panels. So it will be interesting to hear from the banks and also from Ronnie's maybe on how they are leveraging the emerging technologies and financial innovations to enhance the ship finance offerings while also being able to manage the risks related with compliance. And Nicolas, we can start with you on that.
Thank you. Thanks for starting with me on technology. I'm a big fan. My studies and my first two degrees were in science and technology, and I've observed shipping improve so much, and I see we have a little bit of time to offer a story. One of my colleagues recently told me that there were always needed to be someone at their home, and they were just to make sure that his father, a captain, say in the ships, would find someone when he calls at home, and that was back maybe some 35 years and still that many years. Now shipping has improved so much, and it's not only telecommunications. People have Wi-Fi and mobiles and can communicate with people offshore. The telemetrics that are on ship, that you can see the how fast the revs of the engine, how much bunkers there are left in the ship, which is amazing technology. And of course, if you see the way ships are built in the shipyards today, technological advancements in the engines, all this is really amazing. In terms of financing developments, I think the banks in financing has evolved a lot as well. When I first started working for a bank, I remember that we had to handwrite some of the notes that we had, that there was a typist. I still remember the tap in the background. And that has changed to having team meetings today and making decisions from Tarkat. Bank of Cyprus is very proud to have a very state-of-the-art electronic banking system. We turn out quick loans and e-loans for commercial products and car loans. In general, the way everything is processed today, from the communications to the processing to the payments, the majority of which do not can be done from the safety of your office, and there's no interruption and interception by any person in the office. Most of them straight through payments is a real game changer, and I think we need to continue and stay abreast of the requirements. Thank you.
Thank you, Nicola. And Wigan, do you have anything to add to that? Is Urban leveraging this in any particular way? Is it reshaping the efficiency or the transparency of the shipping transactions?
Yes, absolutely. And I agree with what Nicholas has said. Having all banks are trying to leverage on the big data available and find ways to simplify the journey for our clients to access capital, but also to make payments, the day-to-day activity of a shipping company. If you look at the compliance requirements, ideally there should be an online platform website where all lenders can access the information from certain clients. Today, clients have to deal with, depending on the banks they have available to, 10, 12 some separate requests. So I think that's one challenge of good. But we, for example, have implemented some, quick wins, such as, facial recognition of signatories, directors of companies to not require them to, go to a notary and, officialize their signature. So, we try to find ways to make our clients' lives easier. On the compliance side, we've been using online software that track vessels so that at any point in time we can see, where our the clients' vessels are trading and, ask questions where we feel that it's a bit of clarity is required. So that's helping us in managing our risks. Also, we have seen the development of online payment companies that will assist clients with, for example, paying port duties. And on the back of that, we've developed a trade finance proposition to increase the life cycle, working capital life cycles for our clients. We're trying our best to use digitalization to improve the products that we offer to our clients. And I think there's still a lot of room for improvement. So I've watched that space, and I think Bank will continue to offer more innovative products that we go.
Yeah, for sure. And I think as we'll hear from the panels later today, it's definitely watch this space with AI and digitalization. And maybe I can pass that on to you, Ronnie, from the owning or the fund perspective. Is there any other way that you are leveraging this technology? So,
now it's mainly what has been mentioned before, the digitalization in general.
it comes to as a complementary service to the shipping and tank and terms, data analytics, access to capital, sanctions and compliance, monitoring, predictive maintenance, route optimization, and all these things that comes with.
Just look at that. Yeah, it's very latest. Early that it will be used, I think, extensively various most some of our providers, which basically use them for forecasting some analytics, that they use AI instead of the traditional method to build, let's say graphs or whatever. So this will also help the buyers to take quickest decisions, especially in the operation side, but also provide a dynamic way to reflect for this
redundant box.
Yeah, I think you want to have. Yeah, it's a little bit of hold, so it's not out to change.
Thank you very much, Ari. And maybe as a final question within this topic, going back to you again, you mentioned previously you don't foresee any significant structural shifts in 2025 with ship finance structures, but do you think fintech solutions can offer viable alternatives to traditional financing models, or is it too complicated for that to get?
No, I think, I think we can see some movement towards non-banking financial needs lately. So this can be either funds or fintech, but still there is a lot of
link of the story to
close the data and files, especially yours. Yeah, for shipping, because you know that some cases try to do it that way, but exactly because you need this personal relationship with the ship owner, the board was not to be able to sort some issue that might come because shipping it's obvious that it's very after your turn. So you need this personal power. So if you take my shirt, but you will not be of this.
Thank you very much. And I think if we can now check if there's any questions before we finish. Any questions from the audience?
With good days.
I have one story. For Goldman, it's back of it, quite signing it away from Webber 2. So, how does this work? How can we be competitive that's there on this level?
I can only say that Anglo Cyprus remains committed, and as far as I know, Europe remains committed to in help appreciate this to
I don't think we can grab it first quarter maybe left. When I think it's favor solid match, I know we'll be definitely crowded. But they'll beat performance for we'll final work sufficient there. And maybe have a doubt for pulling out. I believe this got successful. Clarity of clarity. On your husband.
I haven't heard that personally, Nicholas, but look, we're not part of the Poseidon Trace Force, but I'm a very big supporter of the evolution and the technological advancements that need to happen for shipping to reach where it needs to be to behave better and create better reputation. I think it's a no-brainer, and whatever happens on the other side of the Atlantic, I think this will remain very important for many years.
If I could just add to that, the certain principles were created by was like you've obviously been business for merch created it. It was actually inconsistent since the start. There's a lot of disparity, a lot of friction in terms of what the news were, what they were. And the effect of that did actually pose up what it's called a fairly controversial environment as it was created. I think now with what we're reading, especially in the economist book, I think is the everybody's Bible for information about the current developments. I dread to think what can happen over the next few months. But there's friction and controversy between the states and Europe, especially with the Ukrainian issue, which in fact is proved to be more of a European issue than a Ukrainian one, that's what I read.
Well, yes, what must be pressure of the people of France? Yeah, the poorhouse. How do you estimate that the situation of the sick with poverty? Because something that it affects all of us by the standard of force of the police. If you're an investment rate, also a 24-4 or public side, just the reason how it is very true of business. The banks, the photo opportunities, realize how get rich equally with that.
It is very important. The question was about the investment grade of the Cyprus economy and back to Cyprus in particular. It's really important, not only reputationally, but also the cost of money for the bank and be able to reach further, to do things more competitively, compete with European banks and international banks on a more even level, and also attract more deposits in a place that is now proved to be more stable. So this is a proof of what we've been doing here, that banks are becoming our staple and the economy is growing. So it is a vote of faith for us, and I think it will promote business and bring more business to
Cyprus.
Yeah, I would say that this shows the good work that was done for the federal government in the banking system as well. So this definitely will attract more investors in Cyprus. As is a bank with the new national, we're below it, weather group. So we are going to use Cyprus to expand further to East, to Abu Dhabi, and to India. So this upgrade will help the image and bring more business to this is
excellent. I'm going to, if I may add, also to expand the force for the grower with also ship orders to tweet the price.
I think we can be competitive when we need to be. I'd like to finish with a positive note that we, in this panel, I was betting with myself that the word compliance will be mentioned many times, but it hasn't, Mr. Tavlieres. It's probably because we banks learn to live more with it. We're better at it, and I think that is positive.
Thanks so much. In fact, we had that pocket. When we see this, we're going to be out of that. We're going to be twice as well covered. So, next time around, we'll be on the 5 lines. And of course, a bit of a controversial word in the dictionary, by the way. And on that note, we finish here, but. Okay, so thanks very much for moderating this panel. Thanks for your participation, your insight. On that note, thank you. Thank you very much.